Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this Taco Tuesday. What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much.
What you gonna
stay
do
out there
when you get out of jail?
It is cold, man.
Your phone when you wake up says 9 degrees. You like start tapping it. Say, where's the other digit?
I was just reading a story about a guy that saves money by not turning his heat on in the wintertime at all. If you gave me a choice, it would definitely be I'm turning the AC on in the summertime and keeping it cold in the winter and just bundling up. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about that.
Not right now.
Where are you living? Oh, you live in Florida. You're fine.
Yeah. As my teammate Lemmy Brady used to say during the end of the football season when it got real cold, ain't no degrees.
Yeah. That'd be today. Ain't no degrees.
Ain't no degrees. That's how it feels out there right now, man. I hate cold. Cold weather is evil. It's evil, man.
Dangerous, man.
Like, think about the garbage, man. What do you call them? The sanitation workers. Now, would you rather pick up the trash in August this time of the morning or January, February this time of the morning?
I'm different. I'd rather the January, February. I don't want that heat, that smell while I'm doing. Oh, no.
But think about it. It's not as hot as it's going to be this time of the morning.
Right in the morning.
Yeah, but they're not just doing it in the morning. I mean, they're going.
No, that's why I said this time of the morning. I specified this
because
time
of the cold.
Right.
Is what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about the heat and everything.
No. Like, this time of the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I still side with the cold, man.
You're evil.
I might
always
be.
Known it. We've always known it. It's all right.
It's an evil side to me.
It's all right.
If you're a tropical weather people, then what am I?
European. how much of the inauguration did you guys watch yesterday?
None.
Really? Why not?
Didn't want to.
I don't get it. It's like one of the most boring things you can watch. Yeah. I don't get it. Like if
you watch the highlights, you watch the speeches afterward usually.
Yeah. I only watch
whether you like him or not. Trump is never boring.
No, he's not.
Come on, no, dude.
But he's not talking the whole time.
You're right, but just, you know, Trump is never, whether you like him or not, he's not boring.
They brought up I was at the dentist's office, so I got to see about 3 hours of it as I'm sitting there in the chair, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, all right, so they brought up a rabbi, then they brought up a priest, then they brought up somebody from a different denomination, and it's like, what's going on? Who are all these people? I don't need to see Kellyanne Conway. I don't need to see any of this nonsense, and to me, like, again, I'm not...
You don't need to see Carrie Underwood?
No, I didn't need to see Biden's either. I don't need to see Obama's. I didn't need to see... I just think it's a very boring event that people love to lift up and talk about for some reason. I don't know.
So you didn't watch any of it?
I watched 3 hours of it.
Okay.
I was in the dentist chair. I didn't have a choice.
Okay.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's what was on.
You just totally crapped on it. And your response is, I watched... Okay, so you were a captive...
Yeah, it was the only thing that was on the TV.
The biggest, he pardoned 1,500 January 6th defendants. Mm-hmm. 1,500.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out who Biden pardoned on the way
out. Biden pardoned January 6th people.
No.
Biden pardoned his family,
okay.
Who haven't been charged with a crime yet.
And Fauci and some other people. He pardoned Mark Andrews from the drop yesterday. Yeah. You guys saw
this
that.
This is how nutty this politics has gotten here.
Biden's pardoning people who haven't been charged with a crime. Trump pardoned 1,500 people first hour in office. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't care.
This whole country, until we're able to talk about things and honestly have conversations about it, I don't know what's moving forward. The one thing I did like what Trump said yesterday was, you know, he was pleading to the people, just saying, if you're a person of color, if you're, you know, Mexican people, if you're in this background or religion, whatever, he was just, we need to come together now. Now, whether or not you believe all that stuff, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But I thought it was nice to finally hear him say something that was, I know people
not
use
divisive.
This word, somewhat presidential, as people
not
like
divisive.
To, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
But overall, it's like, it'd be like the same thing. It would be like me watching someone else's parade when they won the Super Bowl or the championship or World Series or whatever. I don't give a rat's ass. You guys have a good time and enjoy everybody that walks by, everybody that's waving, throwing beers and all that nonsense. I'll enjoy it when it comes to my city because it's my team. But other than that, I don't give a rat's ass. Nothing changes, right?
Well, that's not true altogether. Things change.
No, I'm saying like, when you're saying stuff on that first day, it doesn't necessarily... All the things that everybody's not talking about policy.
Signed some executive orders yesterday that's changed instantly.
Yeah. Trust me.
Government workers, going back to work. Brick and mortar. Mm. Brick and mortar. I don't know how long it's going to take. You going back to work. So some things have changed. 410-583-1057 is the number. Tony Tater's going to Toronto.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Sad.
Sad because it's Toronto, or sad because it's him. Going?
Yeah, just because it's him. He may have been my favorite player. I'm just sad to see him go.
It was definitely mine, but I knew it and I understand.
Yeah, I knew he was going.
I'm sad for him because that's like these cats that are signing with the A's and everybody's popping the A's on the back saying, hey, man, look at them. They're spending money. They have to. They're below the floor. They have to spend money. So, and then I don't know if you guys saw the Dodgers luxury tax. What the F is going on here, man? Yeah. They just don't care.
No. Luxury tax is more than some people's payroll.
It's more than most teams' payroll.
Yeah.
I mean, almost all of them.
It's ridiculous.
How much of Sasaki's contract?
I didn't see the... I don't know how much his deal was. I saw the Tanner Scott deal. Was that $40 million? That
I forgot they picked up both of them. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got three Japanese pitchers in their starting rotation. Yamamoto, who everybody seemed to forget about from last year, mm-hmm. who was... You know, on a run at the beginning. Oh, well, he got hurt, so I still think he's really good. Now they got Sasaki, and of course, Shohei will be pitching again next year.
So, Ed had a good weekend at New York, in New York?
Yeah.
How was it? What'd you do?
As the clock was expired, I yelled, I love New York. we went 3-0, won the first game in overtime. That was a thriller, man. I'm telling you, that's just a little bit too much for me. That was against a school called Winchendon out of Massachusetts.
Oh, I've never heard of them. Yeah.
Then we beat a school called Truman. That's right out of Brooklyn, I think. Either Brooklyn or the Bronx. They are a New York team, New York City team. Then yesterday we beat a team called Hun, H-U-N, the Hun School.
Really?
They're from Baltimore?
No, that's what I was like.
They're from Germany?
Missing opportunity. No, they're from... New Jersey.
Oh, it's Attila School.
Yeah. Attila School.
Yeah, Attila Hun.
Yeah, so 3-0.
Nice, man. Yeah. That's good work. You said you haven't gone 3-0 in this tournament before?
Never. I went 2-1 once. I never went 0-3 either. We went 0-2. We only played two games last year. We went 0-2.
I know you're celebrating, but you only went 1-2 against the spread, so we... Thanks for picking it up on that last day. Playing these close ass games.
Man, 1-2 against the spread. What was the spread?
It doesn't matter, man.
What was the spread on Sunday?
You won by what? You won by 2 in overtime?
That's on Saturday. On Saturday I did.
What'd you win by on Sunday? Like 6 or 7?
No. What? 16.
Oh, yeah. Remember, that was an 18 point spread, man. You guys let me down. You got to hit your free throws at the end of the game, man. I don't hope people realize I'm talking about girls' high school basketball. The most degenerate thing ever.
Speaking of which, World of Stupid at 7:30 with Jeremy Kahn. Don't go anywhere. But on the other side, national championship game. The final score indicates that it was kind of close. Didn't feel like it. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Out of the gun, Howard, a Notre Dame blitz, a deep throw, near side. Jeremiah Smith has it inside the 30 and taken down by Christian Gray at the 9-yard line. Snap and hold are good. Fielding's kick is good. Right down the middle. And the Buckeyes lead 34-23 with 26 seconds to go. And now they're celebrating in earnest on the Ohio State sideline.
The game, Buckeyes put it away. It was 31-24.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buckeyes went to 31-23, I'm sorry. Later on put it away. But to be honest with you, man, the game never really felt that close to me. And I know it was, but it never felt that close to me, Jeremy.
No. I mean, again, the first quarter, maybe when you watch Riley Leonard go down the field, then you see Jeremiah Smith's touchdown, you're going, oh, maybe this is going to be something. But it never really was. One of the biggest issues I had was fourth and goal from the 9. You're down. I mean, you're down quite a bit here. What was it, 16 points? Mm-hmm. And you're kicking a field goal that you miss. You're attempting a field goal that's essentially 27 yards when it's fourth and goal from the 9. You need 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and 2 2-point conversions to win this game. Now, could they have gotten that stop and not allowed the field goal at the end of the game and got the ball back? Sure, that could have happened. But when I'm in the fourth quarter, I'm looking at how many opportunities am I realistically going to get? And how does the math add up for that? And you got to go for it there. Even if you get stopped, right? They missed the field goal. Even if you get stopped, you still have the opportunity to stop them back there, get a punt, you know, and then, of course, get the short field.
So because people are going to ask, do you think that before the missed field goal?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
This is something I brought up yesterday, too, because I was talking about things in the game that I didn't like, even though they worked out. Like, I did not like the Ravens coming out the first series in the second half and throwing the ball 3 times. Now, they ran it on the next couple with whatever it was, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Derrick Henry, or whatever order. But I didn't like that. I mean, you get the ball back, it's like, okay, go back to the beast again. Oh, great, they stopped him initially. Give him the ball some more. But yeah, I mean, in the game and in the context of it, I did not like the field goal there.
Ed, I thought this playoff system as a whole, the 12-team playoff, worked. There's some things you can tweak. But you can say that about the NFL playoffs as well, some things you can tweak.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a whole, I feel like we have a true national champion this year.
I do too. I actually liked it. I thought it was good. I think it's a much better way to determine it than just, you know, a couple of guys' subjectivity. And a better way to determine than 4 teams, right? This is good. You get a legitimate playoff. And there's teams in there who probably wouldn't be looked at ordinarily, you know, not a Power 5 conference, whatever. And they get in, and sometimes if it's your year, you'll show it. I think this worked out really well, and the national champ is deserving.
Jeremy, out of the 12 teams that made it, who was the most disappointing?
For me, I would say, I mean, you could look at any of the teams that got a bye first off. I would say it has to be Oregon.
Hands down.
I'm looking at other teams, and Oregon was undefeated. They were number 1 team in the country, mm-hmm. but I thought they were very susceptible of getting caught. I mean, if you watch them throughout the year, and especially when Ohio State ends up as a favorite against them on a neutral field. But then you start looking at some of the other teams. Like, had high hopes for Georgia, and I understand they were the backup quarterback, but it doesn't matter at Georgia. You got 5 stars all over the damn place, and I'm pretty sure the quarterback there is going to be fine. And now what, Carson Beck transferred to Miami? Is that correct? Yeah, so...
For $4 million.
I thought that was disappointing. I'll tell you the other team that really disappoints me, and I hate saying it, it's Penn State, because I felt like this was the best opportunity you were ever going to have, well, that you could have to win a national championship, and it was set up perfectly for them. They just couldn't get past Notre Dame.
What are we saying now about the ACC that the champion of the ACC, Clemson, won a championship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hold on, I'm trying to think. Clemson, did they win, or did they... They were in second. Who was it? Because Miami fell out.
I thought they beat SMU. Did SMU beat Clemson? Won
in the ACC.
Yeah.
No, Syracuse beat. Who beat SMU in the ACC championship? Was it Clemson?
Clemson. Clemson won. The champions were Georgia, Oregon, Boise State,
or was it
Arizona State?
34-31 Clemson.
Yeah.
Over SMU.
Okay. Right.
I don't know why I was thinking.
What are we saying that the 2 ACC finalists were seeded 11th and 12th?
Well, they suck. I mean, this is a bad conference. It's a bad conference in basketball, too, this year. Like, I know a lot of people are going to wonder, how good's Duke at the end of the year? They're all going to say they're really effing good. I mean, they'd probably be third or fourth in the SEC, if you ask me, but they're really, really good. The ACC's just been down for a while, and now all this, the grabbing of all the other conference teams, and I think they got the weakest teams out of all of them, you know? And
you don't think Stanford's good?
At what? Swimming?
Math.
Golf? What? I mean, look, they've had good
Gal's
years.
Good?
Who?
Gal.
Man, get out of here. You gotta be smart to get in there. Those smart kids ain't playing football.
Wow.
And no, I'm kidding.
Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. I'm kidding.
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn, I know. I'm kidding. No.
Aaron Rodgers is going to JUCO, though, to get there.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, he had to go to JUCO because his family wouldn't pay for his college.
I think, to me, the most disappointing team, I agree with you, was Oregon. Not only because they were undefeated in the number one seed, it just. They just petered out big time against Ohio State. You had to win against Ohio State
already.
It was like
20 points.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a loss. It was an ass whooping.
I think the biggest surprise, in my opinion, was Arizona State. They proved worthy of that, you know, that number four seed. I know they didn't win a game.
They were the better team that night. They lost to Texas.
I think they are a team that, a program that you may want to look out, circle a little bit moving forward.
Do you know who's favored next year?
Arizona State.
No.
No, Kim Scadabo's gone. The great white hype is gone. I was looking at this. I want to make sure everything's right now.
Georgia.
Georgia's up there, and Texas is up there, too. Arch Manning, they're expecting him to take over.
They'll be a better team.
Quinn Ewers was offered like $9 million in NILs to go to other schools, and he turned it down to go to the NFL, which maybe if you go to another school, you don't look as good. But I don't know. It's $9 million, man. It's more than you're going to make in your rookie year. I mean, it's not more than you'll make in the length of the contract. And
Carson Beck taking that $4 million in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Well, he knows. He's just okay.
Ewers is not that guy, in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
I don't like him.
I like him, but I like him as a college quarterback. I don't know that he's the NFL guy. And, oh, by the way, look, everybody wants to see Arch Manning and see what he looks like.
Texas would have won the national championship if Arch Manning is a starting quarterback. Period.
I think if he was starting from the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you threw him in now.
No, from the beginning of the year, Texas wins the national championship. He's a much better quarterback. I almost feel like they were afraid to make the move because his last name's Manning. I almost feel like this is a case, Ed, where his last name worked against him. If his name was Johnson.
Yeah.
You would realize that he was a better quarterback than yours, and you just doubted him. But because he's Manning, you don't want to, well, we don't want, you know, I feel like it worked against him.
I think it's sometimes it does happen. You know, like, you know, when the coach's kid is actually the best player on the team for once.
So, yeah, absolutely. And again, they had to set this up the right way because if Arch wasn't getting the opportunity to start next year, and they were going to, something else was going to, there was talks of him leaving this past year, but they had clearly told him what they were going to do, and he's still raking it in with the NIL. Here's the stack up for next year and winning the championship. Texas, a slight favorite. You might find Georgia in some places. I got Texas plus 450 and Georgia and Ohio State plus 550. Wow. Then it's Oregon, Penn State, Alabama back in the mix, Notre Dame, Miami, Tennessee, Clemson, LSU. A lot of SEC schools in there again.
I don't believe in Alabama no more.
No. Well, we'll find out if that dog can hunt next year because
I don't believe in him anymore. I love Nick Saban. I don't believe in this group. This dude's got to prove it to me.
High tide. High tide.
Yeah, that's it.
High tide.
That's it. Destination New Orleans. We're not going. But would a Chiefs three-peat be a good thing for the game? We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, which pending free agent do you think the Ravens need to re-sign this offseason? Who could they let walk? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Fan. 6:31 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So the Ravens have some decisions to make in the offseason, like pending free agents, Ronnie Stanley, Brandon Stevens, he can bounce. Patrick Ricard, Nelson Aguilar, Malik Harrison, Ben Cleveland, Trey White, Brent Urban. Adarius Washington is a restricted free agent, Josh Jones and Chris Board. See, I look at Tylan Wallace. I look at guys like Chris Board and Malik Harrison, the guys who are necessary because you failed in other areas. Like, those are patchwork guys.
Well, they're depth pieces that you trust if you needed them, right? Like, they have an understanding of what you want to run. It's not like you're going to have to break the bank to keep them. I think some of those other guys, they're interchangeable pieces, but the Ravens, I feel like, typically like to go back to their own and bring their guys back, if at all possible.
Ed?
What about them?
I mean, those guys, to me, again, if you draft well in that position, those guys aren't needed as much. I'm not overreaching. Well, to keep those guys.
They're probably getting signed or not signed after the draft, depending on what you get, too. Some of them.
The two better keepers are Darius.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's restricted.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I like Board. I mean, he's kind of not quite a journeyman, but been back and forth, and he does fill a role. But, again, they say if you draft better, or you draft somebody, you know, to take a spot near Roquan, you get, a stud. Right. I thought Trenton Simpson would have been that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and I'm still giving up on him.
So, you know, you drafted Trenton Simpson. You thought he was the guy. He was not. So you ended up falling back to, one of the old guys. Out of all the free agents, the pending free agents, Jeremy, who do you think they have to keep?
Of all the names that you just listed?
Ronnie Stanley, Brandon Stevens, Patrick McCary, Patrick Ricard, Nelson Aguilar, Malik Harrison, Ben Cleveland, Trey White, Brent Urban. Josh Jones, Chris Board.
Dude, who do they have?
Who else did I leave out?
It doesn't. You didn't leave out anyone. I mean, no. It, like, there is not a must bring back. I would like them to bring back Patrick Ricard, but when you're paying a fullback, it can price himself out real quickly as you become a vet when you start looking at your budget or salary cap. But I don't think any of those guys are must signs.
You don't think Ronnie Stanley is?
No. I mean, like, again, we talked about this yesterday with Mike Preston. Like, mm-hmm. Ronnie Stanley's a really good player, but could you save a lot of money by letting him walk, moving Rosengarten to left tackle, and then drafting a right tackle in the middle rounds? I think that's a viable possibility.
McCarrie's very important.
I mean, look.
But because he plays everything.
And that's fine, too. But I also think that you can find guys of similar talent to Patrick McCarrie.
So basically, Jeremy doesn't feel like there's anybody you need to bring back. But Ed, do you feel like there's anybody you need to bring back?
No, I feel the same pretty much because I'd like to. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see Ricard come back. I think he plays an incredibly important role. And that's tough to find because there's so many 300-pound fullbacks that can move like him. He'd be my number one, I think. But no, I don't think anybody have to have right now. Well, it's tough to give up a left tackle.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's a tough.
But if
guy
you drafted what you thought could be his replacement last year, and I think that's the thought process you got to have is. As bad as it sounds, you're looking for the next replacement and seeing, like, we've talked about this. It's better to get rid of somebody too soon rather than too late. And I think the Ravens do a really good job of that. Last year, the only free agent that I was really upset about was Jadeveon Clowney leading because I'm like, are you going to replace that? But when you look at it, outside of the beginning when it's...
System-wise, they replaced it.
Yeah.
The system is unbelievable getting to the path. I don't know whether it's the individuals or the system, because what did Jadeveon Clowney do this year in Carolina?
Collected a check.
Was back home.
Yeah.
So basically, we all agree all these cats can walk. I mean, it'd be nice to bring them back, but all of them can walk.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't think there's a, oh my God, we gotta put the full court press on bringing this guy back. I think Pat Ricard is the one that... You lose him, it can change what you like to do on offense with that power lineup, yeah. And with having Derrick Henry. Love the idea of having Pat Ricard in there, especially goal line situations.
Yeah.
So I do think he's tremendously valuable, but it's the same thing that happened with Juszczyk when he was here. Pro Bowl fullback, more of a pass-catching, blocking fullback, that type. Mm-hmm. And they let him walk, and San Francisco pays him, and he's been there ever since.
He's
and,
a captain now.
Yeah.
He wears the C out in San Francisco.
And it's a fullback, so I just think those things happen.
Yeah, but he's... Not the same type of fullback as Ricard, though.
But he's one that gets paid more because he's catching the ball.
That's what I mean. Yeah. No. I'm saying I think he's a super fullback. That's what I'm saying. I'm not dissing him. I think he gets paid because he brings so much to the table other than just paving away for somebody.
He priced himself out here is what I'm saying, and I think a lot of these guys are going to do it when they hit the open market because teams are going to look to steal the Ravens' coaches, their front office pieces, which has been happening for years. But they're also looking to take their players if they get a chance.
Let's go to Baltimore and get Trippy. What's up, Trippy?
Hello. Hey, what's going on, man? I just want to say something about the free agency, right? If the Ravens very serious, man, we got to get 55 can go, 22, I mean, not 22, 21 can go with 32. Like, especially 65, I feel like he's the weakest link on the team. So I hope we do something in the draft. I ain't going to lie, my mind all over the place, man. It's like I can't see everything I think about, I just keep thinking about that drop two-point conversion from Mark Andrews. Then you got fans talking about, well, this. I'm going to put it like this, right? Forget the first half. The first half was already over. It all happened in the second half, right? It ain't the first 48, it's 60 minutes. And we still had time. And I just can't believe Mark dropped the ball, man. And then I hear Buffalo Zoe talking all that trash, man. I'm going to be real with you. Them Buffalo Bill fans, they is trash. And I hope they never, never win the Super Bowl. And I ain't going to lie, I hate to say this, I hope Kansas City win it again because I damn sure don't want to see the Eagles win it. Damn sure don't want to see the Commanders. I'm tired of hearing Commanders fans talk about JD5 better than Lamar Jackson. No, he got more playoff wins in his career. I'm tired of that. But I ain't going to lie, y'all, I'm just hurt, man. And the sad thing about it is the Orioles ain't going to make it no better, truth be told. So, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow, man. Y'all enjoy y'all Tuesday, man. Hey, what's up with you, my guy?
Nothing, man. I'm enjoying this -5-degree day here.
Yes, sir, man. I can't wait to see you down on Pickles, man. Hey, Jeremy.
What's up?
The plane's coming, man. We're going to wait, except for Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, Trippy, Ed said -5 degrees, not because that's the temperature, just because you're negative. Man, you call it air, just crapping on everybody. And then you're going to throw He's gonna throw a grenade at the Orioles. The Orioles ain't no better. Hey, he's gonna throw a grenade. Ain't it under you? They ain't gonna make it no better. Man, go get a hug or something. Damn.
I just did look. It is -5. I still don't get this.
The Terps crap. How about crapping on the Terps? Brendan Freeze, big loss last night to Texas. Throw that in there too. He just throw shade on everybody because somebody peed in your cornflakes. Grown ass man walking around moping.
It is one of the weirdest things about fan bases where your team wins and immediately, instead of like basking in that glory and feeling happy about it, you want to go take shots at the other fans. It's a really weird thing in sports. Like, I'm assuming in soccer overseas, if you won, you're going to celebrate, right? Is the first reaction to go just rub it in the other team's face? And maybe it is. It's weird when you see how people react. Like this goofy ass Buffalo Bills fan that keeps listening to the show.
Well, that's fine. He can react and takes Patrick McCarry doesn't belong back here at all. You just throwing shade on people that ain't here. Nobody bothering you? Damn.
Yeah.
I'm just walking around. I can't sleep. Take a gummy. World is stupid at 7:30, but on the other side, what positions do you think the Ravens need to focus on upgrading this offseason? First of all, they need to get Trippy off the wall. Upgrade that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. I'm coming for you, Trippy. Right here on the Fan. Baltimore Ravens season over. You just heard Trippy crying in his cornflakes over it. As many other Raven fans are, they lose to the Buffalo Bills, 27-25 in the divisional round of the playoffs on Sunday. Ravens went 12-5 in the regular season. Lots of talk of Lamar Jackson, perhaps winning his third most valuable player award, and he could very well do so. But that Super Bowl still, man, still hard for him to get to. You look at the positions for the Baltimore Ravens in the offseason. Ed Norris, what position do you think the Ravens need to focus on upgrading this offseason? Anything on offense or defense?
I mean, I guess, there's only, I hate to pick on one person, but I guess cornerback. You know, we got lit up quite a few times. This game, I mean, he was, we're talking about number 21, of course.
Brandon Stevens.
Stevens, yeah. I guess it's, that's probably the only position. I mean, we could upgrade quarterback, running back. No. I mean, one of the best linebackers in football. You have maybe the best safety in football. They have a lot of strong points. They have great tight ends. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't because of lack of talent. It's turnovers. I mean, they outplayed them. They had more yards. It did everything right, except you give them short fields. Everybody's pointing to Andrews because it sucks to be the guy that makes a mistake last. Like, there were plenty of mistakes in that game. Lamar fumbled, threw a pick. I don't know who he was throwing to. There were drop pass. Henry dropped a pass. I don't know if it was Lamar's fault or Henry's fault, but it was that with open field in front. There's so many things you could point to. Point to Andrews is just unfair. And I don't really think it's a personnel issue. It's just one of those things. Seems to happen to the Ravens, though.
Jeremy Kahn?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, I'm going back to this game. You lose by 2 points. You miss two two-point conversions, one of which was dropped. The other was batted down on the play call. You got the pass interference call right before the half that led to 7 points. You had three turnovers in the first half, one of which directly led to points because it was a scoop and almost score. And then here you go. The Bills get points right off the board. You had a quarterback that threw for 127 yards, and he won the game. And then people are talking about Lamar, like, yeah, he choked the game away. Sure, he had two turnovers in the first half. You're not going to change any of that. But I've seen a lot of people, including Trey Wingo, go, he led them down the field in the most crucial moments of the game for a game-tying score and threw a pass to which I hope somebody takes Chris Sims to task for his dumbass comment where he was going, Lamar could have thrown Mark Andrews a better pass. Where? Where else besides the hands
besides
did you want
numbers?
Him to hit him? Like, shut up.
Come on.
And it's just more shade that people want to throw back to Lamar. And Emmanuel Acho said it yesterday. Like, if you want to look at it, Mark Andrews just gave us 8 more months of bashing Lamar Jackson. And I'm not saying it's solely his fault, but that's how they look at it.
I said it yesterday, though.
It's ridiculous.
It's going to be the narrative on this show for the next 12 months. And we get back to next January, we're talking about this.
You know, it's not often that, you question Eric DaCosta for his drafting. But he was looking at a local kid from Notre Dame in the draft at DB, a corner. And that kid ended up going a round later to the Chargers in the fifth round. That's Cam Hart out of Notre Dame. And Cam Hart started six games. He played in 14 games for the Chargers.
Didn't he start? He started the start towards the end of the season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was playing before then.
Yeah.
He started. And they drafted T.J. Tampa in the fourth round. Has T.J. Tampa been off the practice squad?
Really? Yeah, he was active
hurt.
For.
Yeah, he was hurt though.
Okay, all right. But that just, I mean, that you know, they had Cam Hart in the building, and it just fell through. I just felt like that would have been. It's when you look at that situation, that was a better pick for the Baltimore.
Is Cam playing safety or more corner or
corner.
A lot of nickel?
He's playing corner.
Okay.
Yeah. He's playing corner. He plays in some nickel packages, but he's playing. He's been out on the island a couple of times.
I'm not saying he can't do it.
Did they play the Cardinals? Because for some reason, I remember him.
I don't
really chirp it of going up against Marvin Harrison Jr. again, because he locked him down in college. That's how he got on the radar.
Let me see here.
Somebody, one of the top rookie receivers, he went up against. It may have been the Cardinals.
I'm going to try to pull up the Chargers schedule here because I'm trying to think of like could it have been Malik Nabers? Did they play the Giants?
No, it was the Cardinals.
They played the
Cardinals.
Early in the season.
October 21st, yeah.
17-15, they lost.
He had a forced fumble and a pass defense in that game and seven tackles.
Did the Chargers beat anybody that was good?
He had a forced fumble, pass defense, seven tackles.
The Chargers beat some sorry-ass teams. You know, it's funny. Like, I heard the Cincinnati fans complaining, like, oh, my God, if we were in the playoffs, we're the one team that could beat the Chiefs. You guys couldn't make the playoffs with the easiest schedule in the league. Shut up.
Chargers beat the Raiders, the Patriots, Tennessee, Cleveland, New Orleans. But New Orleans was an upstart team.
No, they weren't upstarting then.
They beat Carolina, and they beat the Raiders again.
Would they beat every top 10 drafting team this year? Is that how you got your 10 wins?
They all count, man.
Why I'm you not, all, look, hey. It is, but it, like we looked at all these teams the same thing way that people looked at Denver. Like, oh, man, look at who Denver beat. They ain't beat anybody all year. That's just, I don't know, man. It's
you
funny.
Ain't lying. he keeps looking over here like he wants me to counter him. I got no counter.
Buffalo didn't either.
Well, I said that Buffalo beat the Chiefs at home. When you look at the, to be fair to the league.
They beat the Ravens' ass.
Yeah. To be fair to the league, though, like the league sucks.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, when you start looking at playoff teams, like Denver made the playoffs, and I don't think Denver was a good team. The Chargers made the playoffs. I don't think they were a good team. But by God, if you go down that list and check behind them, those teams sucked.
Yeah.
The Bengals screaming about not making the playoffs. You guys sucked all year. You lost all your home games at the beginning of the season. Yeah. Ain't nobody trying to listen to you.
I hate it when, you know, you're prisoners of the moment. Well, they ended up strong. Well, they started off bad. Take care of business all year long. You can't just all of a sudden become a football team and say, we should be in. That's it. We did it. No, you didn't do it enough.
Did they finish strong or did they play weak teams down the stretch?
Yeah.
I mean, the one signature game is the Denver game, and that one could have gone either way, but Cincinnati was at home. Anyway.
410-583-1057 is the number. Jeremy Codd came in with violence today, man.
You did. Well, I'm hating a lot of people today. I'm hating a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just, like, I don't get fans and, like, how people are. Is the goal to watch your team win, or is your goal to just troll other people when your team wins? Because it's the same thing for, I'm not saying Ravens fans don't do this, because they do as well.
Big time.
Like, next week, so Buffalo Bills fans are trolling all the Ravens fans this week.
Especially one.
Yeah, and then you guys got a chance.
One of you should sit in that chair you're sitting in right now.
Oh, yeah, well, he's, oof. Ooh. Sean McDermott was talking about him.
He was.
I think it was after his 9/11 speech. But look, so as you look at the way that things have gone here, like fan bases go up. You guys have the Chiefs next week in Kansas City, yet you're worried about what Baltimore thinks. And here's the other big problem I have. What is the whataboutism with fans? Should that defensive pass interference been called in the first half?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, the offense.
Should offensive one, you mean?
It was called defensive pass.
No, it should have been offensive.
Okay, I should not have been called. Should the defensive pass interference been called?
No, it should not.
No, But at the same extent, we can all look at the holding call that happened on their offensive lineman where he chopped his arms down and go, that was a terrible call. You know, there were terrible calls all throughout the game. There were terrible calls all weekend long. It happens. But when one directly affects a scoring play, it clearly changes the landscape of the game. So, yes, I do think that was the most important play in the game. And when you win by 2 points and someone's gifted 18 or what was it? Like 20 yards there to set them up on a first down, when that was third down, and you would have had to attempt a damn near 50-yard field goal in those conditions.
Hey, Ed, I'm glad we both slipped up and said yes, because when we said yes initially,
I was ready to fight both of you.
Yeah,
I
know. He leaned forward, shoulders went up.
I was trying to figure out which one I wanted to attack first, and I think it was Rob, because then I got Ed cornered, but then I got, it's a wounded animal with his back, his knees, his everything else that's going on with him. But I also have the same problems. I may have leapt over the table and Rob may have just sideswiped me and I'd still be laying over there.
He could have just stood up.
True story, man. I had a kid Saturday. Had the worst game of her season. Amber, worst game of her season. Just under 6 seconds, she gets the steal, goes the length of the court for the layup in overtime, wins the game. And then they got the ball back, so we still had to make a stop. They got the ball back with like a second left.
Mm-hmm.
I ran down court to go get her, and I felt, it's different when you run on a treadmill, run working out. But when you're running at someone with adrenaline, there's explosiveness.
It's in the moment.
I felt the pull in my hamstring and my calf, my left calf and right hamstring. I took off, and after two steps, I slowed down and jogged. I just felt my hamstring and my calf said, no, he can't explode like that anymore.
It's so funny getting old. Somebody asked me if you could do one thing that now that you could, that you couldn't do now, you could do 15 years ago, what would it be? And I said, tie my shoes. Like, I leave my shoes tied and slip them on when I leave the house every day.
I stopped. It was semi-pro in South Carolina. It's adult league here, and there's a big difference. But my uncle used to tell me, don't stop playing adult league baseball until you just can't play anymore. And I didn't listen to him, and I stopped early, and now I wish I could play. That's the one thing that I would go back and do. Play until I just can't play anymore. Now I miss it. Can't throw. 410-583-1057 is the number.
A mutual friend of ours said, never attack Rob first. Dude always lawyers up. Don't you listen to those ads? That was Ken Zales. And the head coach is always to blame, according to Ken.
Oh, man. World is stupid at 7:30. Always lawyers up. But on the other side, Destination New Orleans. Would a Chiefs three-peat be a good thing for the game? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.